Hey guys, welcome to the second episode of I Don't Know Anything. Just a little warning, I'm gonna be really stuffy. Allergies are fucking killing me. But, so, lately in health class, so we're on our relationships unit, which I don't know, maybe sounds a little strange to be talking about in health class because, you know, you should be talking about like organs or something, but we talk about like financial health, mental health, and of course bodily health, so like a healthy lifestyle and diets and stuff. But you know, which is really, I think is really smart, because America's schooling is so shit at teaching their students, you know, how to live life well. So, you know, this is the type of stuff that we should be talking about. But right now we're in our relationships unit, so we're talking about like healthy friendships and how to get out of bad ones, or how to spot bad relationships. So my health teacher, he had us, so this, our assignment was to compile 7 friendship quotes and explain how they are relevant to you. So I'm gonna share my quotes with you because I fucking want to. So the first one says, so this is, the author is unknown, but it says, a friend is someone who overlooks your broken fence and admires the flowers in the garden. So this was like on every single list that I looked through of friendship quotes, so I had to put this one down. But I really like it because, you know, I mean, how many of you have run into someone with a broken fence? How many of you have run into someone without a fence at all? Those people are really rare because of, you know, you put yourself out there and then you get hurt. So, you know, everyone's got their fence because everyone's afraid of getting hurt, or they've been hurt before. And that's what the fence is. I mean, the brokenness is that person's brokenness showing in the fence. So people without fences is really rare. They're pretty swag though. Anyways, so throughout my life, throughout my short life, mind you, I've run into many, many, many broken fences. And I've tried to look over every single one because, you know, you never know what you're gonna find behind their fence. I think it's really important to have that mindset when you're going into a new relationship or meeting a new person, is if you run into some brokenness or something you find a little off, you want to try and look over that. You know, there's always a chance that it won't work out, but you know, you want to at least give that person a chance and look over their brokenness. The second quote I have, so this is my favorite. It says, the friend who can be silent with us in a moment of despair or confusion, who can stay with us in an hour of grief and bereavement, who can tolerate not knowing, not curing, not healing, and face with us the reality of our powerlessness, that is a friend who cares. And this one is by Henry J. Nouwen, I think is how you say it. I love this quote. So this is my favorite one out of all 7. I really like this one. So in most of my most meaningful friendships, there is constant despair and confusion within that person I care about. And a lot of the times I'm the one they come to when they want answers to this question that they've been battling with in their mind. And a lot of the times I don't have an answer, or at least a sufficient one. And, you know, sometimes I try and tell them that, like I say, I don't really know what to say, but I will listen to you. But sometimes I just make up some bullshit because I'm flustered and I'm afraid that they'll just move on to the next person if I don't give them what they want to hear, and that sort of bullshit. So I think that with this quote, it's really hard to do what this quote says, especially for a person like me who needs to have the answer, or, you know, but a friend who truly cares, a true friend, should be able to sit in silence with that person and it not be awkward or weird, you know, because sometimes, most of the time, all that person really needs is someone to listen, someone to share in their despair. someone to really resonate in the powerlessness with, you know? Because in moments like those, when you're afraid and confused and scared and you feel helpless, you feel alone as well. So you reach out for anyone who's willing to hold on to you so you can be powerless together. So you're not alone in your despair. So the next one says, each friend represents a world in us, a world possibly not born until they arrive, and it is only by this meeting that a new world is born. This one's by Anais Nin. So I absolutely adore this quote. I love it. I think, so with each new friend I make, I 100% discover a new part of myself. I grow through people. I grow through the hardships I've been in with other people. And I've learned so much about myself during high school. And it's because of all the people I've met. You know, all of the hearts that I've seen. Some of the friendships haven't worked out, you know, like they ended as quickly as they began, or they ended with a big bang and it was terrible and we were all heartbroken and it was insane and it caused hardship for all of my friends because I was like, what should I do? It was just a mess. But, you know, a lot of the time when you go through a breakup or a fallout with a friend or something like that, you ask for advice through your other friends or your parents or your grandparents or someone who's good at advice or someone who's close to you. And something I would say is, you know, that person may be gone. It may have not worked out. But you learned something, didn't you? You know, you learned something about yourself. You learned something about, you know, maybe you discovered a new interest, or you discovered what you want out of a relationship and what you don't want. It's important to make mistakes in every aspect of life, and especially in relationships, because, like, in romantic relationships, when you're looking for a partner, you don't want to be stuck with someone that you know, that doesn't actually connect with you. Because being stuck with a person that you don't truly care about as much as you did in the beginning is absolute torture. And oh my god, it's terrible. I can tell you from experience, it's so bad. So you must keep in mind when something ends, you learn something from it. I promise you, you did. With every single person you meet, you change. A little bit or a lot of it. Every single person, I promise you, you do. You discover something new about yourself, or you change your perspective of the world, or about a specific part of the world, or your perspective of that person. You change in some way. And keep your eyes open to that. Be mindful of the ways you change, and the ways you change other people. So the next quote says, "For beautiful eyes, look for the good in others. For beautiful lips, speak only words of kindness. And for poise, walk with the knowledge that you are never alone," by Audrey Hepburn. I love this quote. I know a lot of people will agree with me. Having a friend that you know truly cares, having a friend that you know you can trust, is one of the most comforting feelings in the world when you're going through a really lonely time, or you feel like no one understands you. You remember that person, you're like, hey, I'm not actually alone. So I was an exorbitantly lonely kid in middle school. I was extremely alone. I had a million friends, mind you. I did. I had a lot of friends, too many. But when I came to middle school from fourth grade, so elementary was first through fourth, or K through fourth, and then middle school was fifth through eighth. So I came from Warren Elementary, so none of you will know what I'm talking about. Well, maybe some of you will. But I came from Warren Elementary, and I went to LaSalle Intermediate Academy. So everyone else at LaSalle came from, like, Kennedy or something. So they all knew each other in some way, shape, or form, and I was just like, hey, what's going on? So apparently I was a very outgoing kid, which, I mean, I don't really remember, sort of. It wasn't that long ago, but I actually don't remember it. But I came in and I made a bunch of friends, and the first one I made, she was extremely shy. She did not, you know, she did not like, you know, talking to people. So I kind of like shaped her into this new person that was comfortable with talking to new people, because I was like, hey, if we're going to be BFFs, we got to be on the same page with other people. So throughout middle school, I put all of my love and trust into this one person, and I never got anything out of it. I never got any of it back. So I always felt like I was free falling, because I was giving and giving and giving and then never getting anything back. So I never felt like I had a safety net if I said something that no one else liked. You know what I mean? So I was constantly putting myself out there and constantly reaching and reaching for love and affection from this person I cared so much for, and I never got a single thing for it. So I think the thing with this quote is it really accentuates the importance effort holds in a relationship to me. And that's just me, this quote to me personally. But so this person in middle school, I followed her around everywhere. I did everything she did. I liked everything she liked. I hated everyone that she hated. I mimicked her, and I couldn't tell you why. I don't know, maybe I thought she was cool, or maybe I was too afraid to search for anyone else that could take her place, because I had put her on such a high pedestal and I put myself below her. I don't understand why. I could tell you that this person isn't in a very good place now, but I don't know. It was just really strange. I didn't really realize what was happening until I got to eighth grade, and I was like, hey, this is sort of bullshit. You're not a good friend. Peace out. That's kind of what happened. So, okay, here's the other quote. It says, when the world is so complicated, the simple gift of friendship is within all of our hands. And this is by Maria Shriver. I don't know, maybe some of you will find this cheesy, but I believe that we all hold an endless supply of love and kindness. And especially in times like these, we must all learn to give it freely. Even with the risk of getting hurt, you know? You'll hear those songs where people were like, they gave and gave and gave, and then they were left with nothing. Which sometimes it might be the case, like you might feel like you are left with nothing, like I did in middle school, you know, when I gave and gave and gave and I never got anything back. So I was just so extremely lonely. That's something that could happen. But in this case, I'm talking about giving kindness to strangers. Being kind to strangers. Because you never know what could happen. You could make a new friend. You could save someone's life even just by telling them you like their hair or their outfit or something like that. Life is so extremely difficult nowadays, mentally. I mean, to get through all of these hardships that life keeps throwing at us without a care in the world, and you feel like you're being pounded down into the ground, you don't get a break from any of it. Especially for teenagers, because mental health is such a huge issue in today's world. There's barely anyone who isn't diagnosed with anxiety or ADHD or depression or ADD or bipolar disorder or something like that. There's always something that's holding someone back. So give your kindness freely. Be humble about it. Don't expect anything back. Now, in a friendship, in a friendship, that's when effort should be coming from both sides. You should be giving and you should be receiving in an equal manner. That's what friendship is effort from both sides. And if you feel like that's not what's going on, then that is not a healthy friendship. Giving freely, even with the risk of getting hurt, that is how you grow. That's how you learn. You know? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to give your love freely, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter who that person is or what they believe in or what they said to you or whatever. Give it freely because you have an endless supply, I promise you. You won't run out. It may feel like you do. It may feel like you get burnt up, but that's in only certain circumstances. So the next quote says, a friend can tell you things you don't want to tell yourself, by Frances Ward Weller. So we've all heard this before, that a friend should be your wake-up call. A friend should keep you in check and stop you from saying bullshit that you shouldn't say. I live by this. I'm often the wake-up call for many of my friends, and I ask my friends to do the same for me as well. because sometimes I do need a slap on the face because I'm making the wrong decisions and I need someone to tell me that. I'm generally very self-aware, but sometimes, you know, I lose track. But yeah, being a true friend means, you know, telling the person when they're wrong. Telling this person when they're going down the wrong path. And they may not always agree with you. Maybe you get into a fight, but at least you're trying to save this person from hurt or something like that. You know, this is just as general knowledge, but, you know, sometimes you need a little reminder. You know, so if your friend is currently making bad decisions, like, I don't know, maybe they're addicted to something, get them some help. Maybe you personally can't help them, but get some help for that person because they need it. I promise you they need it. So this is the last quote. It says, "Be genuinely interested in everyone you meet, and everyone you meet will be genuinely interested in you." And it's by Rashid Agunlaro, I think is how you say it. So I love this quote. Nowadays, so many people are afraid of that vulnerability, or they write someone off because of politics or some other meaningless thing. And we as human beings have closed ourselves off from everyone that's different from us, which 100% causes us to miss out on a lot of great relationships and a lot of great people. So I try to be open to everyone. I swear to you, I give everyone a chance. Some of you that know me may not think so, because I'm sometimes quick to judge or complain about something about someone. But I do give everyone a chance, because everyone deserves a chance. But there's so many people I know who are so invested in their political views or their morals that they write someone off with just a single look or a single word or something. And it's good to stay true to your morals, but also you must at least try to give everyone a chance. Sometimes it's hard because you're a very guarded person and your fence is built up very high, because you've been hurt so many times. But the way to heal is to find a person who can truly care for you the way that you've been looking for. I don't know if that makes sense. But the way to find a person like that, if you don't have one already, is to be open to everyone, no matter politics or some other meaningless bullshit. 'Cause I think that the youth of today put so much faith and confidence in the labels that they put on each other that we separate ourselves and we create our own little cliques, and this causes much distress. I can tell you firsthand how much distress this causes. And it's good to have morals, it's good to have beliefs, and it's good to stand up for those beliefs. I 100% believe in that. So I don't know. Like, politically wise, you can be a Republican, but, and also be a good person, you know? So, I guess what I'm saying is, you can be a Republican, I don't care. You can love Donald Trump or whatever. I literally don't care. But don't be an asshole, you know? Don't force it upon other people. Don't call someone a dumbass because they voted for Biden or whatever. Politics pisses me off. And that's on a completely separate note. But it does. I do not like politics. They're annoying. I mean, I care. It's just, it's really hard to participate in something that causes so much distress. It's insane. You can be a liberal without being a dumbass, too. There's a lot. People are just people, you know? Everyone is a human being, no matter what they believe in or what they choose to do or anything like that. And labels are just labels. And some people live by their labels and other people don't give a shit. You know, because everyone's different. Literally every single person's mind is wired differently. And we have to keep that in mind. Especially when we're building relationships. So when you're having a debate about something, don't let it turn into an argument. It has to be a respectable conversation about some sort of disagreement you're having. And sometimes you have to agree to disagree. You know, what's that one quote that that one guy said? I think, I don't know, it's something along the lines like, I wholly disagree with what you're saying, but I will die to protect your right to say it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I like that quote. It's pretty swag. The relationships. Summertime. So, what do you do when you're in a bad relationship? And how do you find out if you're in a bad relationship? And I can only tell you from my personal experiences and the TED Talks that I've watched. I researched for this episode because I didn't want to stumble. I don't know if you could tell, but I have been doing so well. I'm so proud of myself. So I've been in a couple of bad relationships. The most recent one ended with a big bang. It did not end very well. They had a lot of issues that they couldn't handle properly. Like, they were given the tools to. They took medication, they went to therapy, and that sort of thing. But obviously it wasn't working. So we got into a routine where every night they would text me and be like, I'm gonna kill myself, I'm worthless, I hate myself, you know. And I would have the normal spiel, I would have my speech prepared, and it scared the shit out of me every time until it got to the point where it was so regulated that it didn't even scare me anymore. And that sounds like a really shitty thing to say, but it was so frequent and nothing ever happened. It was just threats. And they became empty. So how do I generalize that? If you feel like you have a script for your friendship and there are certain things that you can't say and you have to censor yourself and you become a different person around this certain person, I promise you that relationship is flawed. And you either have to sit down and talk it out and fix it, or you have to run. You have to leave as quick as you can, because that is how you get hurt. That is how you ruin yourself. It's terrible. If you have to censor yourself in any single way around anyone, then don't hang out with that person, because that is not the person for you. But me and this person, it was a codependent relationship. I don't know if any of you know what that is. So it's when you rely on each other to get shit done. So I found my self-worth in this person. So I was going through a really shitty time. And they were going through an extremely shitty time. So we found love and support and connection in each other. And it was a very fast forming relationship. It formed really fast. It was insane. Like, we talked for 1 week and then we decided, hey, we're best friends. Fuck everybody else. That's sort of how it happened. And it sounds really cool, but it ended just as fast. So the first time we hung out was really weird. It was really awkward, but it got easier. We started calling every night. We talked about everything. We shared everything with each other. And then as soon as everything was out there, we had nothing else to talk about. It was really strange. It was really weird. So as soon as we shared our deepest, darkest secrets and we told each other everything, we sort of got bored, I think. Or at least I did. As their issues got worse and worse and worse, I started to have to change the things I said, and I started to have to watch the way I reacted to certain things that they said. I called this a perpetuated state of torture. It was constant and it never stopped, and I was always so afraid that he would find out that I was being a fake friend at this point. And all of the things I said, I didn't really mean, you know? Because they would ask me every single night if I loved them, and I would have to say it back, or they would threaten to kill themselves. It was that sort of relationship. It was like I was being held hostage. I don't know if any of you have ever felt the same way, but that's not normal. You shouldn't feel like that. Like, I would sit up at night, and I'd be like, is this what friendship is? Is this what it's supposed to feel like? Because I know, like, you're not supposed to abandon your friends when they're going through a rough time, even if it hurts you. At least I think that's that's how it's supposed to go. I haven't really gotten it down yet. But I finally figured out that, no, this is not how friendship is supposed to feel like. So I talked to this person and I tried to cut it off, and you know what they did? They said, oh, well, it doesn't really matter because I'm going to go home and I'm going to kill myself. And I was like, well, no, you're not. So I went to the guidance counselor and I was like, hey, this is what up? And they got sent to the mental hospital. And that's sort of where it ended. After they got back the next, like, month, we pretended, or at least I did, for a little while, and then I was like, hey, just so you know, this isn't working. And yeah, it sort of just quietly ended terribly. So there's my example of a terrible relationship. And it doesn't always have to be a mental health issue. It could be a personality issue or something like that. If you sense something is amiss within that person or within the relationship or within the air between you two, sit down and talk about it. It's always worth clearing the air, even if it ends. At least you're spared some discomfort. Yeah. I don't know if you got anything out of that, but so that's the end. Yeah. Be vulnerable. Take chances. You can do this. Have a good day. Goodbye.